The Punt, William Hill's Top Flight Football Podcast.
Hello everyone, welcome along again to the Punt Podcast with William Hill. Dave Kellner here in the studio, joined once again by Lee Phelps. And this week we have William Hill's football trader, Mark Burton, completing the
trio. He's not the only one, Dave.
He is, he's just been telling me how he prices all the Ukrainian football up.
I never have a day off.
He never has a day off, and he never has to look at anything online either. It's all in his head, all this Ukrainian football as well.
I like it.
So I'm expecting big things this week, and we need some help here in the studio because Lee's been dismal. He's been appalling. One nap, it went down.
Yes, it was Arsenal minus a goal.
A lot of people are on that. Yeah. A lot of people I spoke to are on that.
Shrewdies, you call them.
Non-Shrewdies now.
It should have landed, shouldn't it?
Well, if they'd scored again, it would have, wouldn't it? That's the way of the world with betting.
Yeah, look, it was like a loosener the first weekend.
Yep.
You don't know how it's going to go, do you? You don't really know how it's going to go. It's a bit random.
Yeah, you say that, Mark, but I managed to land my my best bet last week, and Lee Struggs from Footy Accumes landed his bet as well. So hopefully we'll get a nap selection from you at the end of the podcast. Hopefully we'll go 3 from 3 this week. And this week we start with Aston Villa versus Newcastle. 12:45 p.m. kickoff on Saturday. Aston Villa 13-8. The draw 21-10. And Newcastle in the betting at 9-5. Paul Lambert's team won at Stoke last week, which was a big surprise. Stoke were backed into 17-20 from 19-20. Were beaten by Aston Villa. Looked very solid defensively, Lee. They worked hard, those old experienced heads coming to the fore with Philip Senderos. Kieran Richardson was excellent in midfield. Looked okay, Villa.
Yeah, I was so against Villa, and I kind of derided Richardson and Senderos, and they both looked great. One was man of the match, the other one was like fist pumping concrete Ron Vlaar, like they've been mates forever. They've already forged like some sort of like brick wall at the back of the Villa defence. Bit different when they're at home though, and I think there's a lot about Newcastle that we've got to think about. Pardew needs points. Or at least a point. He's got 1 win in 9 spanning the summer. 14 defeats in 20 since the turn of the year. So he's had a terrible 2014. All those disciplinary issues that he had as well. And I know maybe it's a bit unfair to cross the summer with form. But the Newcastle fans are already starting to get a little bit tetchy. I think they covered it up with a good performance, but no goals against Man City. I think he'll set up to get a point here. And Villa last season, they won 6 games at home. I always think they struggle to make the game. They're good on the counter, as we saw against Stoke, but they struggle to make the game. Of the 6 games they won last season at Villa Park, 2 were against Man City and Chelsea, who obviously would be open anyway. They wouldn't have to make the game against them. The other one was a 4-3 win against West Brom, which was an end-to-end encounter. So in the games where it's open, they're fine at home. But when a team comes and shuts up shop and makes it difficult, I think they struggle a bit. I think that's what Pardew will do. Villa have signed a new player this week, Colombian defensive midfielder Carlos Alberto, I think he's called, which is again, no more creativity, just another player kind of to shore up the midfield. I think it's going to be a low scoring draw. I'd go for a 1-1. I've got a nice little goal scorer bet which I like as well, which is the new man CM De Jong. You might have remembering from the World Cup, the listeners. Checking back on his record, last year when he played 19 games because of about 3 bad injuries, he had some sort of compressed lung injury or something. But he got 7 goals in his 19 games, the year before 12 in 34, the year before that 13 in 29, 12 in 32 the year before that, and 17 in 36 the year before. That's kind of like Lampard scoring record, isn't it? Albeit that it's in the Dutch top flight and not ours, but scored 2 in the pre-season games he played in before he got injured. 23-10. If you want to back a goal scorer, then I wouldn't put anyone off backing him rather than Riviere, who I thought looked a bit iffy.
I think a lot of Newcastle fans that I've spoken to suggest that he's going to be their man this year. CM De Jong
would be a good signing. I wouldn't be surprised if he's the one who ends up at a bigger club next year.
Yeah, 8-1 to score first, 8-1 last, 23-10 for him to score any time. The 1-1 draw you mentioned as well, Lee, in the betting at 11-2. A couple of headline offers on this game as well. Riviere to score and Newcastle to win is 5-1. Andreas Weimann to score and Aston Villa to win also in the betting at 5-1. Mark, Newcastle showed a little bit of sparkle against Man City last weekend. We were eventually beaten 2-0. Remy Cabea looks a decent acquisition for Montpellier. Team news is going to be very important. Rumours that Cheick Tiote's going to leave, so he might not be a part of the team. But CM Dion coming in will be a big boost for Newcastle.
Yeah, I don't think they should look at that Man City game, Newcastle, and be too disheartened with it. You know, they were playing Man City at the end of the day. They had plenty of shots on goal, didn't they, Newcastle?
Yeah.
I don't like Villa at home. I think, like what Lee was saying, Villa away from home, they set up for the counter attack. Got people like, you know, Bong Lahore, and when Benteke was fit, they could hit teams. They're always a very big price away from home with Villa, and I don't think they can play like that at home. So, you know, looking at this game for me, I think Newcastle are the best. Just good start you've got there, which we were looking at early. I think the last two meeting, the last five meetings between these two teams, both teams have scored.
Yep.
And there's been quite a lot of 2-1s to either team. So there's never too much in it. So if you're looking at something like Newcastle to win 2-1, maybe both teams to score, and Newcastle to win, for me, maybe a bet.
Yeah. Newcastle to win at 2-1s in the betting at 10-1. And of course, you can play Newcastle to win the game and over 2.5 goals as well, which could be a good little bet. That's 7-2.
Yeah. Look, I like I say, I like the draw. I think they'll both. Yep. I think Newcastle will set up for it. Like I say, you know, they were the only team last week on the opening weekend not to have a shot on target, Newcastle. And you know, that's another reason why I like it. If you're going to look for a goal scorer, look for a midfielder to score the goal. I'm not convinced yet by this Riviere.
Just to be fully transparent here, we always like to be fully transparent on this podcast. Are you going for the draw here, Lee?
Yes.
You are definitely going for the draw. I don't want him like a text after the match saying, well, I mentioned that on the podcast. That's draw. What I was getting midweek, listeners.
Draw under 2.5 and CM Dion. Is it CM Dion? I mean, we had a problem with Louis van Gaal last week.
We did.
We're not quite sure how to pronounce this, mate. You know, some people
depends
go Van Gaal,
from, does it?
Van Gaal. CM Dion, are we good on that?
I'm not sure. Let's ask our Dutchman.
Same De Jong. Same De Jong.
That's what I found on the internet. So I think that must be right.
That's close.
It must be close.
I'm looking forward to hearing the commentators on Match of the Day pronounce it.
Barry Davis or someone.
Same De Jong. Good, I like it.
Yeah, thank you, Lee. And thanks to our Dutch correspondent for that message as well. Let's move on. Let's have a look at Everton versus Arsenal, which is the 5:30 p.m. kickoff on Saturday. A tough match to assess from a betting perspective. You guys upstairs, Mark, can't split them.
Can't split them.
17-10 each of two, and the draw in the betting at 21-10. Everton drew 2-2 with Leicester on the opening weekend. Arsenal coming back from Turkey, having scraped a 0-0 against Besiktas. It's tough, this one.
Well, we're looking at, I think, when they played each other at Goodison Park last season, wasn't it 3-0 Everton?
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
It was.
First time they've beaten them in years, isn't it?
And they were a big price that day. I know, like, we're saying you can't split them now. I think, you know, people are twigging onto the fact Everton are a good team at home. But just because Arsenal played midweek, like I say, Everton are strong at home. I'd like to take Everton in this. And I like Romelu Lukaku. I really fancy him top scorer in the whole season.
Right. Really?
I think 20-1, yeah. I think, you know, he's just such a handful. He gets so many goals every season. I think, like, was it last season he only played half a season, did he? Or was it the season before he only played half a season? Still got an awful lot of goals. Like Everton at home, so that's the bet for me, I think.
Everton in the betting at 17-10. By the way, a headline offer. This one looks attractive. Yeah. Romelu Lukaku to score and Everton to win, which is in the betting at 4-1. He looked lacking a little bit of fitness, I thought, last weekend. Maybe, to use a racing term, he needed the run against Leicester.
Yep.
I expect him to play well, and he's got a good scoring record in recent times, Lee, against Arsenal.
Yeah, he's a good player, isn't he? He's a bit of a bully, isn't he? And I always think anyone who's got a bit about them, I know he's not Didier Drogba, but you know, he's probably about as close as we've got to Didier Drogba of old. And Didier Drogba used to tear Arsenal a new one every single time he played him, didn't he?
Surprised Chelsea let him go. I don't understand why. I know they've got Drogba back, and you know, you look at someone like Torres, who hasn't been firing for season after season now. Why you'd keep persisting with someone like that and just let Lukaku go out on loan, score all these goals, and just, I don't want him anymore.
It does seem strange, but Jose Mourinho, he has a habit of making the right decisions, in my opinion, and he must see something in Lukaku, whether it's an attitude problem or work ethic problem. There must be something there for him to let a player of Lukaku's undoubted quality leave the club.
The inference before has been it's more about attitude than work rate or training. I've been told that he's a very, 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 very confident young man, and he doesn't mind telling you what he thinks he should be doing. And that's
he might not like that then.
Well, Mourinho, you can't see him really being too keen on that, can you?
You can't imagine someone like Drogba's got that kind of attitude as well, isn't he? He thinks he's top dog. Yeah. You know, he's not willing, you know, to shy away from things. So.
Who knows? But he's obviously a goal scorer, and you know, it'd be hard to put anyone off backing him. I do like Naismith though as well. You know, in terms of the anytime prices, 13-10 for Lukaku, Naismith 2-1. A bit of a kind of like, it's not a very trendy name to throw around in terms of goal scorers, but he's got a good record. Scored against Arsenal last time as well. I like him. I think you know he's the kind of player who can benefit from knockdowns and from saves and and just block shots, and he always seems to be there on thereabouts in the box in the right place. So yeah, I do like Naismith as a goal scorer. Tricky game. Everton should have Seamus Coleman back. They had a lot of injuries last week, didn't they? Which we found out about after we'd recorded the podcast. So I guess that you've got to weigh that up when you look at the result they had, the 2-2 draw at Leicester. They kept the defence was good at home last season. There's this kind of this preconception about Roberto Martinez's teams that they're defensively they're not very sound. I think they let in 19 goals last season. So that's, it's obviously very good. It's one a game, but I can see this being quite open.
Yeah, I can as well. I'm looking forward to that matchup of Romelu Lukaku, assuming he starts, which he should, against Callum Chambers. Young 19-year-old's just come in, played very well midweek against Besiktas, but I watched the entire match, and I thought that when Demba Ba really put pressure on him, he looked a little bit susceptible. One moment where he slipped, let Demba Ba through. That's going to be, if he does start Chambers, an intriguing matchup. Whether or not he's ready for someone,
got a massive task on his hands, hasn't he?
Absolutely huge task on his hands. Lukaku can bully experienced defenders. It will be a huge test for him, I think, this weekend, Callum Chambers.
Yeah. I'm not sure on the outright, if I'm being honest. I could make really good arguments for both. I'm just going to go for a bit of a lame one and go over 2.5 goals in the match. It's 4-5, but I think that the way they set up, I think that there will be goals. I think Lukaku, as Mark said, will be busting the gut to get right up to match fitness. I think there's goals throughout the team, and the same for Arsenal.
Could be a good game for him play, because you might want to watch the first 10 minutes, see how it's going to go. But whatever happens, one team's going to shorten up depending on how both teams start. So maybe just hang fire a bit and just see what who's dominating.
Over 2.5 goals, by the way, 4-5, as Lee mentioned, and Mark going with Everton to win this game, Lukaku to score, and Everton to win in the betting at 4-1. Let's have a look at Sunday's televised games then, starting with Hull versus Stoke, which is a 1:30 p.m. kickoff on Sunday. I'm guessing that if you usually go out for Sunday lunch, this one's not going to keep you inside, is it? Basically, this one. It doesn't look a very attractive fixture. Hull are in the betting at 6-4, the draw 11-5, and Stoke in the betting at 9-5. This wouldn't be televised if it wasn't if Hull hadn't played midweek, but they played against Lokeren on Thursday night, were beaten 1-0 in that game. Stoke have shortened Lee subsequently in from 21-10 last night to 9-5 now. That still looks a good price.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? Because we know it's a bit of a cliche, but we know that teams who've been in Europa League action who haven't got the squads to cope with it have traditionally struggled, haven't they, when they come back. Plus, it's an away game that they've obviously been back from. I know Belgium's not the other side of the world or anything, but it's still, you talk to players and it's still an ordeal getting the plane, coming back straight after the match, etc., etc. You miss training and all the rest of it. Robert Snodgrass out for 6 months on the sidelines with a knee injury. Massive blow to them, obviously. You look at the players who come in, I'm not too convinced. Shane Long's gone, of course. So Yannick Sagbo's banned. You're looking at Ince and Jelovic maybe up front. Ince yeah, who knows what we're going to get from Ince. And Jelovic, good player, but he's not prolific. I'd rather see Sonny Aluko in there. I think whenever I see Aluko play, he seems to cause the opposition problems. I just wonder, with a bit of fatigue in the legs, you know, early season, they've been going for a couple of weeks now. I wonder if Hull will just set up to be, they won't be too expansive in this one. I'm interested to see how Stoke set up, though. Will Mark Hughes be attacking? You know, will he go for it? And you know, maybe stick Boyan up front on his own, or will he play like a front four and actually go at Hull and try and beat them? It doesn't seem the Stoke way, does it? But you know, if they don't get anything out of this one, Stoke, and suddenly it's two games, and you start to worry about them a little bit. You know, up front they've got Boyan, like I said, they've got Diouf, they've got Crouch, they've got Odin Wingy as well. Odin Wingy scored the only goal between these two last year, by the way. It was 0-0 and 1-0, and Odin Wingy was the man who scored that only goal. So I don't expect a high scorer, because of the fact I think Hull will set up and he gets them organised. I'm not sure how easy Stoke will break them down. So I'm looking at low on the goals.
Yeah, but Boyan came to Stoke with a huge reputation. Showed glimpses last weekend.
Good coup, wasn't it? Good
yeah,
coup for him.
It was only glimpses though, and they'll be expecting more from him this weekend. What do you make to this game, Mark?
0-0. Honestly, I'm not being disrespectful to the team, but I just think. You know, like Hull got a win, didn't they, against QPR? So, like we're saying, you know, they might be happy with a point. I know they're at home and they lost midweek, so they might think, well, if we get a point, we've got 4 points on the board. The pressure is on Stoke because they got beat on Saturday, last Saturday. It's one of those games you can see them cancelling each other out, I think, and there've been a few chances.
Yeah.
I think, like you say, under 1.5 might be a bet. If you want to be bold, 0-0.
And they weren't great against QPR either. They really nicked that game. QPR dominated for large portions, but Rio Ferdinand had that slip up. James Chester scored and Hull nicked it. Under half a goal is 13-2. That's the 0-0 score Mark suggested. Under 1.5 goals, Lee, you going with that, 13-8?
Yes.
Under 2.5 is 4-9, so...
That is short.
It is short, isn't it?
I know, like...
4-9.
But that's the thing.
It's almost like tempting to back the overs just because of the price. 13-8 on over 2.5. You never get that, do you? I mean, that looks a big price. I mean, I was just looking at that and thinking, even though I don't believe it'll happen...
But because everyone says, oh, it'll be low scoring, yeah, yeah, and then all of a sudden you look at that 2.5...
Market swings that way, doesn't it? The market always swings that way, and you put the under... you'll be able to tell us about this, Mark. You must put the under in artificially short here because you know what everyone's going to back.
Yeah, the goal expectancy will be short because everyone's got the same opinion. You talk to, you think Hull, Stoke, and like I come out and said 0-0, everyone will be thinking that.
Yeah.
But you don't, you know, these games you don't know, do you? Like a couple of penalty here and there, a slip up, a mistake or something. You get a couple of goals in the first half.
Early goal opens the match up entirely, doesn't it?
You don't know. So,
interesting. Anyway, under 1.5 goals is 13-8.
I'm going to give Stoke another chance here. You know, I backed them last week and I made to look stupid. You know, if Hull are tired and they've got this three-man defence, three men at the back, if Stoke go attacking, I think that Hull might not be able to contain them. I'll go Stoke to win it as an outright selection. And even though I don't believe it'll happen, I'll go over 2.5 at 13-8 just because of the price.
Let's have a look at Sunday's late kickoff then. 4 p.m. kickoff. Sunderland 7-2. The draw 5-2. Manchester United in the betting at 4-5. Manchester United have signed Marcus Royo from Sporting Lisbon. They need a few more signings, Mark, based on Saturday's evidence. Just like last year, it's Louis van Moyes, isn't it, in charge? It was like watching 20 games last season. It really was. They were devoid of any cutting edge, no pace. It's weird to say Manchester United team with no pace, having Wayne Rooney, Ashley Young, Adnan Januzaj. He played a part.
He was on the bench, wasn't he?
They don't run him behind. No. Everything was played in front of Swansea, and it was a dismal performance.
Well,
yet again,
this 3-5-2 formation with these wing backs, and I don't, you know, playing people at wing back who aren't used to playing wing back, maybe people like Ashley Young, and it's a difficult position, isn't it, wing back? It's you're sort of doing two positions in one. I think you've got to have a really, you know, good player to play that position. You know, they need more, don't they? They had a young lad at centre back, didn't they?
Blackett.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I don't think you can lose people like Evra, Rio Ferdinand, and Vidic, and not really bring anybody in apart from Luke Shaw, and obviously they've made a signing in the last few days. But they're 4-5 away at Sunderland. I mean, you'd have to be a ball person to really get stuck into that, wouldn't you? So I think Sunderland draw, no bet for me. Looks tasty. I'm not too sure what the price is. 5-2 maybe.
Yeah, Sunderland draw, no bet is 12-5.
12-5. I'd happily take that all day long, I think.
Well, you guys must have been absolutely loving it when they were struggling against Swansea. Over 90% of bets must have been on Man U, weren't they?
Yeah, it was great for us, because obviously Man United are still, you know, still a big club, still a team that everyone will think, oh, you know, they're up there with the Chelsea's and Man City's, we'll get stuck into them early doors. You know, and it wasn't really like that last season. I don't think it's going to be like this season. I don't think they'll finish in the top five.
85% of the bets, by the way, on Manchester United in this game. So still fielding money at 4-5 mark. Yeah, you must be happy about that.
Yeah, all day long. Take it all day long. You know, I don't think anyone has to be too afraid of them anymore. I think, you know, going to Old Trafford used to be really difficult, didn't they? People were sort of, teams would just roll over and die really at Old Trafford, but not this. That, you know, last season you saw so many teams go there and pick up 3 points.
Yep.
You know, Sunderland will definitely fancy the chances in this game, I think.
Sunderland draw, no bet for Mark at 12-5. Rumours abound that Arturo Vidal, Lee, is on the verge of signing for Manchester United. Only rumours at the moment.
We're going to have to listen to this desperate hope that you'll get a big player. DK is a Man United fan. Well, you've been a couple of times.
Yeah, fan in inverted commas, I think.
I saw this on Twitter, by the way, this week, which I liked, when Rowe signed this little terrace song for all the opposition fans. Rowe, Rowe, row your boat gently down the league. Merrily, 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 you've got no Champions League.
Nice.
And there are other versions involving Fellaini, which I can't really do, even though we're like for an over 18 audience. They're a bit choice.
Some of our listeners are still a touch sensitive.
Yes, exactly. And we've got a brand to think about, the William Hill.
Oh, we
brand,
have, we have.
Look, I agree with everything that Mark's just said about the price of Man U and how Sunderland should be able to get something out of it. They've got some problems in defence. Billy Jones set to miss out. I mean, and even then you'd be like, oh, great. Santiago Virginie is also doubtful. He got a knock. Wes Brown could be at right back if neither recover. Roberge keeps his place in central defence. You look at the team. Has he got that much about it? I know they scored goals last week, but Man United, this is a great game for Man United to go to, I think. And if they improve, we're told that Robin van Persie is close to playing in this one, so Danny Welbeck would sit out. It'd be van Persie and Rooney up front with Mata just behind them. Maybe without having to make the game, if Sunderland do come out of them, they'll have more opportunities. If Van Persie does play and if he's anywhere near fitness, you know, his scoring record is tremendous, isn't it? His odds on to score 10-11. I mean, you've got to kind of think, what do you like best? If you're a Man United supporter, if you like it, you think Man United to win at 4-5 or Van Persie to score at 10-11. I'd probably take Van Persie to score at 10-11. I'm more sure of that than I am of United winning at the moment.
Our perception's changing a little bit too quickly, because last week, all for Manchester United. Yeah. They'll beat Swansea at home. They'll beat them comprehensively. One bad performance last week, and now it's doom and gloom.
Yeah, but if they weren't odds on, I'd be backing them.
Yes.
You know, there's something about that price. I mean, I still think they'll win the game, but I'm not willing to trust. You know, a lot of people will have been burnt week in, week out last year thinking, oh, this is the week they'll get better. Yep. They never did they? So, you know, I can't do it again. I was all over them last week, but not this time.
If Van Persie plays and it's announced whenever, an hour, 2 hours before kickoff, that price on Man United will shorten significantly. Yep. Because I think that's how big an influence he is in their squad, in their team, sorry. So if you've got some kind of inside info as to whether Van Persie's going to play,
I'll just give him a ring.
See what he says. Take the 4-5.
He's cancelled the call.
He didn't take the call.
Didn't even acknowledge it. Manchester United 4-5, the draw 5-2, Sunderland 7-2. A couple of headline offers here. Stephen Fletcher to score and Sunderland to win, 7-1. Wayne Rooney to score and Manchester United to win in the betting at 2-1.
You'd think there'd be goals, though, wouldn't you? I mean, I know Rojo's coming in, but you know he's coming into a brand new defence. No one really knows. No one's comfortable with each other. If they go with a back three of Jones, Evans and Rojo, I mean, you know, Sunderland can get at that. I think, you know, people will be looking at goals. Again, you know, I think there could be early goals. You said it last week, didn't you? You thought both teams to score was a great bet last week.
Yeah.
In the Swansea game.
Shorter this week, though. Yeah. It's 8-11 this week. It was 21-20 in the Manchester United Swansea game last week, basically because Manchester United was so short to win that game last week. Yep. That if they set up defensively like that, if Evans is back and Royo comes in, Phil Jones is there, they've got Valencia back as well. There's a better balance to that side, and it allows Louis van Gaal to
Carrick played, I think,
influence the game. Perhaps it allows him to put his formation out there that he wants to play with better personnel to suit that formation as well.
Both teams to score and over 2.5 goals in a match is 6-5. That looks you don't have to touch the outrights. No. 2-1, you know, land you that one. And
weren't Man United flying in pre-season though?
Yeah, they were scoring goals for
so
fun, weren't they?
Don't see why all of a sudden you play Swansea at home and it's what's
crazy,
going on,
isn't it? Yeah. God knows. I mean, the manager. I mean, Louis van Gaal said the confidence has been shot to bits by that one result. I mean, you'd be worried, wouldn't you? You would be worried. But I still think even if they're not at full tilt, they can score goals. So that match result, the both teams to score. And over 2.5 odds against looks good.
On to Monday night, and we've got an absolute belter. Bank holiday Monday evening, 8 p.m. kickoff. This one, Manchester City versus Liverpool. Manchester City 17-20, the draw 12-5. Liverpool in the betting at 100-30 here at William Hill. Mario Balotelli Lee has signed for Liverpool, £16 million. Out of the frying pan into the fire as far as Liverpool are concerned, but we're hearing he won't have a part to play in this match because the signings come too late. I think Man City look short to me. Surprised to see them odds on at 17-20 to win this game. They've not got a particularly good record against Liverpool.
No, I mean, they just get the job done, though, don't they? You know, the way they started the season, it was just almost a bit like, yeah, we'll just carry on, just, you know, keep having shots off target and pushing forward Newcastle. When we get chances, we'll score. Aguero came on, spent 7 minutes on the pitch, had 2 shots on target and scored. That's just clinical, isn't it? You know, you look at both these sides, you know, how many shots they had on target in their opening encounters. Very few. Liverpool had 3 shots on target against Southampton. Came away with a 2-1 win, you know, because they've got world-class finishers up front. And, you know, I think the chances will be a bit fewer than we've seen in the previous. You know, 22 goals in the last 7 between these two in the Premier League. That's kind of taking it from when Man City became the new Man City, if you like. 16 goals in the last 4. It's, you know, Liverpool aren't particularly set up to be defensive, so I think, you know, the only way they know is to pass it about and move forward, which obviously creates an open game. And Man City, when they're presented with chances, tend to score them. Dzeko's just put pen to paper on a new deal. It seemed to work wonders for Aguero last week. You know, obviously he signed his new deal and scored. Dzeko was, I think, man of the match last week against Newcastle for the Man City side of things. You know, great little setup for Aguero's goal. I'd like Dzeko to score in the game. You know, I'm actually tempted to go under 2.5 in the goals, as daft as it sounds, even against that. I just think Liverpool, if they're going to replace Suarez's goals, they have to concede less. When Suarez scored last year, they'd be winning games 3 and 4. They don't need to win games 3 and 4. I know it all helps at the end of the season, but, you know, they're not going to win the Premier League, are they? So, you know, I think we can,
I'll clip that out at the end of the season.
Yeah, I can't see it anyway. So I think they need to concede less. Now, you know, will Brendan Rodgers actually set up a little bit more defensively this time and try and contain Man City and hit them on the break rather than trying to play all the time? You know, under 2.5 is 5-4. Over 2.5 is 6-10. Obviously, the over 2.5 has landed in all but one of those 7 encounters that I mentioned. And over 3.5 has landed in a fair few. Just because it's early in the season, and I think Liverpool will be a bit more mindful about, you know, not being too expansive, I'm going to go for it being a bit of a pass-a-thon, maybe cancelling each other out a little bit, and under 2.5 goals at 5-4.
Okay, under 2.5 goals for Lee at 5-4. Mark, what do you make of this?
I like Man City. I know you said you don't understand why they're odds on, but there have to be odds on at home against anybody, don't they, Man City? You go odds against and you just get smashed in, I think. But I can't see past Man City, to be honest. Liverpool have got a slight chance. I think the prices are right. You just add it up there. I think, you know, Man City to win both halves, 7-2. I'd have a little nibble on that, to be honest.
Would you really?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I just think at home they're just unstoppable. Man City, don't care who they're playing, really. You know, Balotelli, like you said, he can't play anyway, but probably won't make much difference, I don't think. So yeah, I'd go for that. 7-2 with some, both halves.
It's some signing, isn't it, for Liverpool, getting Mario Balotelli.
It's a strange one, I think. You're taking a bit of a big risk, aren't you, there?
Yeah.
I think Brendan Rodgers has just got an undying belief that he can manage anyone. He's got that unyielding belief in his own ability, Brendan Rodgers.
He's probably not going to start, is he? Because if they're just playing Sturridge, he's not going to be happy with that, is he, Balotelli, I don't think.
I could see them playing... Do you think they'll play some games together, Sturridge and Balotelli?
I don't know. I mean, I think at home, if they want to go for it and they want to beat teams out of sight, then yes. But, I mean, away from home...
I suppose they're in the Champions League as well, so they need that kind of bigger squad.
He's a luxury
to, like,
player,
rotational.
Though, isn't he, really, in a sense? You know, he's never fulfilled that potential.
No.
Every now and again he does. But, you know, everyone makes out he should be in the top five players in the world right now. He's not, is he?
I don't know if you want someone like that in your squad. I know that just upset people, and you know, everyone's seeing what happened at Man City and things. So.
Yeah, I mean, he's never behaved, and he's promised he's going to behave. But I mean, they managed to get Suarez to behave for a whole season, didn't they? So maybe they're going to. Is it Steve Peters, the psychologist? Yep. So maybe they'll give him a little spin. He'll probably. You know, Balotelli is such a special case. Steve Peters will probably come out and retire from psychology because he can't deal with him. At the end of his career, Matt was mentioning about Man City's home record. Just to kind of reinforce that, I mean, it really is incredible. Like, you look at last season, scored 63 goals at home and conceded 13. in 19 matches. I mean, that is absolutely staggering, isn't it? The goals that they conceded. I mean, four of them were in April. So West Brom got one, Southampton got one, and Sunderland got a couple. Cardiff. I mean, it's funny how they conceded against some of the lesser teams. Cardiff got one, but Chelsea beat them, of course. Arsenal scored three against them in that 6-3. So many clean sheets. Liverpool were unlucky there last year, if you remember back to it. Coutinho got the opening goal, then Manchester City hit back. I think it was all done and dusted in the first half. But yeah, I just sense a tighter game. Still think City have got the edge, though. If you're looking for an outright bet, I find it hard to see how Liverpool can outscore Man City.
Okay, a couple of headline offers. David Silva to score and Man City to win 5-1. Daniel Sturridge to score and Liverpool to win in the betting at 6-1. Mark going with Man City to win the game at 17-20 and to win both halves as well at 7-2. And Lee, your best bet in the game?
Under 2.5, and I like Dzeko to get a goal at 23-20.
Thank you. Let's move on to the non-televised matches this weekend then, starting off with Chelsea versus Leicester, 3 p.m. kickoff. Chelsea 2-9, shortest price on the coupon this weekend. The draw is 9-2, and Leicester in the betting at 14-1. Chelsea have actually, Mark, beaten Leicester in their last six meetings, a run stretching back to early 2001. So it's difficult.
It's not good
to
for Leicester.
It's not good for Leicester, and Chelsea looked superb against Burnley.
Difficult place to go, isn't it, for Leicester? You've got a thing. If they can nick a draw out of this, they'll be absolutely over the moon. You know, the price is fair, 2-9 on Chelsea, but you got to be a brave man to be steaming into that, haven't you? Maybe looking at the handicaps, maybe for Chelsea on this.
I think a lot of people may be looking at Chelsea half time, Chelsea full time, 4-7.
Ooh, even still, 4-7, it's still not attractive, is it? If you're going to
Chelsea minus one's 11-20, by the way, almost 1-2.
That's 6-4 minus 2. That's a bit more appealing, isn't it?
Still,
I don't know.
It's a big leap, isn't it? To win by
I think Chelsea will absolutely run away with this, or Leicester will sneak a draw.
Okay, so no in between.
No, it could be like 4-5-0 or something, or Leicester could really upset the apple cart and nick a draw.
And you'll be hoping, from a company perspective here, Mark, that Leicester can nick something from the game.
0-0, yeah,
0-0 will be nice.
But it's not on telly, is it? So it's one of those where the turnover. So it takes a bit of a battering because there's it's not on TV.
The one that goes in Acca's run, I guess. It'll be Chelsea being every Acca.
Yeah, and it's one of those where, especially if Leicester would take a surprise lead, or something. That'd be it. Then you might as well take every other game down on the website and just portray that one. That's all everyone will be interested in.
Yeah.
Draw 0-0 draw, by the way, 16-1. 4-0 Chelsea, 17-2. 5-0 Chelsea in the betting at 18-1. You look at that Chelsea team. Liam. We saw evidence of it on Monday night against Burnley. It's just packed full of quality, quality attacking players. Eden Hazard, Cesc Fabregas, Oscar Schürrle looks fantastic now following his World Cup. Diego Costa scored. They've still got Willian and Ramirez in that squad as well. Nemanja Matic allowing all these players to play in front of him. I don't see a way they are stopped for the title. I know we're early on in the season here, but they seem to have no weakness.
Yeah, they look very good. You could see a Chelsea. I think it was a couple of years back when they started the season brilliantly, scoring threes and fours, and we could see something similar here. I mean, I went for Burnley the draw at half time and Chelsea full time when they went to Burnley. I thought Burnley would just set up and, you know, and just go for the point. I think the fact that it was the first game in the Premier League, it was a night game, it was at home, maybe they got excited, they scored an early goal, and that just seemed to anger Chelsea. I'm going to give that another spin, though, this time. You know, Leicester conceded 21 goals away from home last year. I know it's in the Championship, obviously we're not talking about the same level, but Nigel Pearson's a very good manager, a very disciplined manager. His players, you know, do what they're told when they're told to do it. Now, if he sets up with, a bank of four, and then five-man midfield with one dropping in to protect the back four, and then able to push on when they break, then I think they can get to half time without conceding. But Chelsea will get there in the end, because with through balls like the one that Fabregas played, they'll open up pretty much any defence, and it's very hard to keep that going for the entire 90 minutes if that's the way Leicester do go. I can't see them going out there and trying to beat Chelsea. Aloha started really well, scored a goal, of course. I think he'll do really well in the Premier League. I liked his movement and what I saw from him, but again, difficult to see how he'll get that many chances to score against Chelsea. I'll go with that. If you're not quite that, if you like the idea but you're not quite as confident as me on the half-time draw full-time, you could also go for the draw at 30 minutes and see if they last out until then. Leicester, that might be another way in for it, but I'm happy to give that one another chance, just because everyone's getting carried away with Chelsea. Me too. I think Leicester might just put a little bit of an obstacle in the way.
17-20, by the way, for them to be drawing at the half-hour mark. If you fancy the double result, it is a bit short. If you fancy the double result market, draw half-time, Chelsea full-time, 16-5, so over 3-1.
And this is why you download this podcast. Some betting advice on the Chelsea goal scorers. Close your eyes, get a pin, and just hover it around and just stick it anywhere, whichever one it lands on, back then.
Schürrle.
But do you know it's going to be mine? You don't know it's going to be Stein.
You get your money back, don't you?
You've got to wait for the you've got to wait for the team
you
have before
have
you
run,
bet, yeah before, you have a run. Before you're betting on scores, I think. Wait for the team.
Where did that land, by the way, when I did that? Schürrle.
5-4. So there you go. Top class as usual. Crystal Palace versus West Ham next up. Crystal Palace 6-4. The draw 11-5. West Ham 9-5. Lee, it's all happening at Crystal Palace at the moment.
Absolutely.
Ian Moody's resigned following what happened with him and Malky Mackay midweek, which is obviously not good. West Ham started off with a defeat against Tottenham Hotspur, beaten 1-0. They had the majority of that game from reports that I read, and Mark Noble missed a penalty. Crystal Palace, it must be so unsettling at the moment. 6-4 seems short price.
Yeah, you're always tempted to oppose teams when they're in this kind of turmoil, but then if you spoke to the players go, oh, we're just getting on with our job, aren't we? Blah, 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 blah.
They did okay at Arsenal, didn't they, really?
Did all right, didn't they? Yeah. I'm kind of in the mood to oppose Palace, though. I wish it was someone other than West Ham, if I'm being honest, who they were playing. First home game, all the turmoil that's going on, who knows? But, I think one of the biggest worries for them is the fitness of Scott Dan. They have to keep the goals out. We talked last week about how few goals they score and how we don't think they've really recruited well enough up front. They need quality defenders to keep the goals out. Damien Delaney will come in for Scott Dan if Dan doesn't make it. Delaney's been suffering from an injury anyway. Jason Puncheon's out because he got sent off, of course. Another one of their better players. So suddenly they're weaker already than they were at Arsenal last week. West Ham have got some problems at the back. James Collins is banned and James Tompkins is a doubt. Carl Jenkinson could be in line for his first start. Look, if Sam Allardyce is brave and goes with an attacking lineup, the likes of kind of Zarate and Carlton Carr with a debut for Ener Valencia, I think they'll get the better of Palace. If he goes up for it, if he goes for a more solid looking lineup with the likes of Stuart Downing and Vaz Tay, kind of in a five man midfield, then I think it'll be a drab draw.
The draw's 11-5. West Ham in the betting at 9-5. Mark,
Both teams to score. Definitely. Okay. West Ham will definitely score in this game, I think. But like you know, Palace are good at home. They had a good home record, really, didn't they, last season? You know, they have really good support at home. They're up for it. You don't know which way all this you know saga with a chairman and the new manager is going to go. You don't know. It could go either way for them. They could be really motivated by it. I'm not. Who's their assistant? Who's going to be in charge for this?
Yeah,
this,
Milner again, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. So you know, you don't. He could have them well up for it. So. I don't know. I think both teams to score for me. I don't really have much else of an opinion. I'll go for that.
21-20 odds against both
teams
to score.
That's not bad. I didn't realise it was that price. Yeah, 21-20.
On to Southampton versus West Brom. Southampton 10-11. The draw 11-5. West Brom in the betting at 7-2. Mark, Southampton beaten 2-1 by Liverpool last weekend, but looked decent.
Yep.
James Ward-Prowse and Dusan Tadic provided Southampton with outlets. And Morgan Schneiderlin, Victor Wanyama and Stephen Davis bossed that midfield against Liverpool. It was surprising because it was all doom and gloom pre-season for Southampton, but beacons of light in that central midfield.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you look at the prices here, 10, just a shade of odds on, aren't they, on to West Brom. I think, if I'm being honest, I think West Brom are going down, to be honest, this season. I don't think the squad's good enough.
No.
You know, that is a questionable appointment of the manager. I think Southampton will win this, but like you know, 10-11, it's one of those you might want to double up with something else and just leave it at that because it's not really one of those you really want to get stuck into. But yeah, I think the prices are fair. I'll home win definitely for me.
Southampton 10-11, Lee.
Yeah, I agree with what you said about the doom and gloom. I thought they were well worth a point, weren't they, at Liverpool? Really. I liked Dusan Tadic. I wasn't so impressed by Graziano Pelle, but I think you know, obviously he'll settle in. And you know, as we said, Ronald Koeman shouldn't be making a mistake with him. He's worked with him before and he's scored goals for Koeman before, so I expect Pelle to chip in. I love that midfield that you mentioned. I thought you know they were really strong and it looks good. Schneidlin's interesting actually because you know he was supposed to be moving. He's supposed to have a big move. Now the transfer window is creaking closed, isn't it? You know players who've got a potential move in them and they're in the shop window. I expect you know I think he'll play well. I think he's good. A good shout for a goal in this one. Agree that there will be goals in it.
7-2, by the way, for Schneiderlin to score
nice.
Anytime.
It's nice. West Brom are like really top. When you look at their midfield, they're quite top heavy on attacking players, like Brunt and Dorans and Sessegnon and James Morrison. If they could transform one of those into a defensive midfielder to kind of protect the back four a bit, I think they'd do okay. They drew more games away from home than anyone alongside Everton, 6 last season. Only had 3 clean sheets. I see them conceding. I think they might get one. I agree that I think Southampton will win. I think over 3.5 in this one.
Wow.
I just don't see them. West Brom's the way they play, it's like attack is the best form of defence for them. So I don't see that changing here. And Southampton are pretty open, aren't they? They attacked at Liverpool. They'll attack at home. So I'm going to go for an over 3.5 here. I think it could be like a 3-1 to Southampton.
12-5, over 3.5 goals in the game, which looks like a good price. And if you fancy 3-1 to Southampton, that's in the betting at 14-1. On to Swansea versus Burnley. The last of the 3 p.m. kickoffs on Saturday. Swansea 4-6, the draw 12-5, and Burnley in the betting at 5-1. You exhaled there, Mr. Phelps.
Well, because I'm just kind of weighing up which one will be last on Match of the Day. The 50th anniversary Match of the Day. Who will have that? I think probably this one will be because Palace won't be last because obviously there'll be something to talk about with the controversy there. Probably name an unchanged side. You'd imagine Gary Monk after that fantastic win on the opening day. Again, we don't know how much it was down to you know them being great or Man United being ordinary. But I mean, they just carry on doing what they do, don't they? They pass the ball around fantastically well. See that stat about you know the first goal, there was 29 passes in it, more than any other goal last season.
Yeah,
23 of them were between the two centre backs, weren't they? But I mean, you know, they exposed Man United's frailties, didn't they? And you know, you wonder how Burnley will cope. Burnley were based last season on a very high pressing game, high energy, getting the ball back, making it difficult for the opposition. In the past, Swansea have struggled when teams have done that to them. Everton and Tottenham did it in the first season that Swansea really kind of came up onto the scene and did it to good effect. More and more teams did it last year. If Burnley adopt that approach where they're just giving Swansea no time whatsoever, I think Burnley can get something out of this game, to be honest.
Yep, I
know it's an unlikely idea, but 5-1, Mark, it looks massive.
I can't be taking 4-6 on Swansea.
That looks horrible, that 4-6. I was looking through the coupon and I thought 4-6 Swansea. I think Burnley will feel relieved that they don't have to play Chelsea again, and that relief might their levels might increase because of that. There'll just be a bit of pressure off Burnley this weekend. Swansea at 4-6.
No, I mean,
it's a definite
overreaction to them beating Man United. Burnley, I just have to draw a line against that under that first game, and just, you know, we played probably the champions, you know, for this season at home. They didn't disgrace themselves at all. I didn't think Burnley. I think they did okay. Like I was saying, like 5-1 here, I'm tempted to, you know, back 5-1 and just forget Toronto. But I mean, I like Toronto better, but I think 5-1, I'll take that all day. I won't be touching 4-6 ones in no way.
3-1, by the way, Burnley, if you fancy Toronto bet. Also, have a look at the double chance market here. Burnley or the draw, which is in the betting at 5-4. And we finish off this weekend with Tottenham versus QPR, which is a non-televised match, but on Sunday, 1:30 p.m. kickoff. Tottenham 1-2, the draw 3-1, QPR in the betting at 6-1. And Mark, QPR, you look at their record, they've now just won 4 of their last 40 Premier League matches.
I haven't got the players at all, I don't think, QPR. We're talking about the strikers. I know, you know, is Loic Remy staying? Is he going? Would he play him anyway? And then who else have you got? Charlie Austin, Zamora?
Yep.
Who else are we looking at up front for QPR? Is that about it?
That's about it, really.
That's what I mean. If Loic Remy does go, they're going to have to get another 2 strikers in, I think, because you can't go for the season with Zamora and Austin. I think Austin's a good championship striker, but for me in the Premiership, I can't see them scoring at all in this game. I think the prices are pretty fair, to be honest. I know Spurs played midweek. Something like Spurs to win 2-0. I don't know what that's going to be, but that could be a good play.
Mm. Lee?
Yeah, I'd say I'm not as down on QPR as everyone else is, but I suppose, you know, it's a bad defeat on the opening day. But it's hard to back them, isn't it? It's hard to back them to beat a Tottenham side who I think will be more and more steady. And I think Pochettino is going to put a big reliance on keeping clean sheets. You know, that's why he tried to do that for Southampton. It took him a little while at Southampton, but, you know, I think he'll get it right because he's got better players at Tottenham. Just a tiny bit of team news from the Tottenham side. This is on Friday afternoon. He's without Kyle Naughton. Kyle Walker's also an injury concern. The hero last week, Dyer, is expected to go to right back, and so Vertonghen will partner Yunus Kabul. I mean, that doesn't really see. I don't think that weakens them down at all, really. You know, the likes of Lamella, Adebayor, Eriksen in attack. You know, I can see Tottenham winning this fairly comfortably, like a 2-0 scoreline. So Tottenham -1 would be my shout. And even if QPR score, Tottenham, it might rattle Tottenham into scoring 3 as well. I think Tottenham will get this done. -1's only 5-4. But a correct score of 2-0 might be a nice one.
Tottenham to win 2-0, by the way, 11-8.
That's nice.
As well. So all going with Tottenham there. Tottenham 1-2, the draw 3-1, QPR 6-1. Now for the Naps. Chaps,
yes. So you and our guest, we'll have to have the column. We'll have to say guest,
yes,
and then we'll put a little note next to it every week. So I'm -10 already.
You are.
What price was yours again?
21-20 last week.
Lucky
that winner. Shall I kick off here?
Why not? Well, should we say the winner kicks off then?
Yeah, winner kicks off. I'm going to, despite them being supported in the market, I'm going to stick with Stoke here at 9-5 as my nap this week.
You've missed the wedding, but you know.
Yeah, I know I have a little bit. 9-5, though, I still think I shared big. I think they should be ahead of Hull in the betting, if I'm being honest. I know Hull are at home in this game, but they really nicked it against QPR. I think QPR are terrible. So I'm not putting much stock in that 1-0 win at the weekend. Robert Snodgrass is a big miss for Hull this season.
Six months.
Out for 6 months.
Didn't realise it was 6 months.
Yeah, out for six months. Bad. Hull have been to Lockeren midweek, lost 1-0 at Lockeren. They've got to make this not massively quick turnaround, but Thursday to Sunday, as you mentioned earlier, Lee, does affect teams that have played in the Europa League the following weekend. Stoke were backed into 17-20 to beat Villa at home. I don't think that the home advantage suggests that much of a disparity in the prices. There's an overreaction to that loss, so I'll go with Stoke at 9-5 as my bet of the week.
Big price,
Mr. Phelps.
I'm going back to the Southampton West Brom game. I'll put up over 3.5 as my bet for the game. Because it's a nap of the weekend, I'm going to go a little bit safer and I need to get off the board.
Scaredy cat.
Over 2.5 goals at 19-20 in this game, where I think it'll be about the attacking rather than the defending. Like Southampton in the opening weekend, I think at home they'll score some goals again this season, and they need to as well, obviously. West Brom always likely to give you a game, so over 2.5 goals in that one for me at 19-20.
Mark?
I'm going to go with what I've just mentioned, Spurs to Inter Mil, 11-8. I didn't realise it was that price, to be honest.
It does look a bit price, isn't it?
You know, you're looking at the 2-1, probably a bit too skinny for a lot of people, so you look at some alternatives, as long as, it, you know, if you think they're going to win, and keep it. I just can't see QPR scoring with what they've got. Simple as that. You know, Spurs are on a bit of a roll at the moment. I know it's early doors, but you know, Adebayor, Soldado, these players, I think they'll just like you say, 2-0 could be a good bet as well, but I'll be safe and go Winter nil.
If you fancy that treble, Tottenham to Winter nil, 11-8. Stoke at 9-5. Over 2.5 goals at 19-20 in the Southampton West Brom game at 11.96-1. So almost 12-1 for that nap treble this week. Chaps, a pleasure speaking to you. Mark, thank you for coming on the podcast. And Lee, I suppose we'll have to do this again next week.
Yes, we will. I'm looking forward to it already.
Thank you for your company, folks. Remember, you can follow us on Audioboo as well. Type in William Hill, and you can download this podcast via iTunes. Until next week, we'll speak soon.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.